Good morning. My name is Laura, and I want to share a part of my life that happened about 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to China, South China, and trek through some of the Himalaya mountains there. These are some of the most amazing, spectacular mountains you could ever picture. The heights and the depths of the valleys, they are stunning. And I look back at my photos and just, they don't do it justice of me standing there looking at that in real life. But one of the things that impacted me the most about this trip was the hospitality of the Chinese people. They were amazing people. We would spend the day hiking and trekking through mountains, and we would come across a road and we would catch trucks or cars, whatever went by, to get to the next village and explore around these mountains and these places. And usually in the afternoon, we would be walking down a road. I can picture some of the roads to this day, walking down this dirt road, kind of coming around a corner, seeing a few houses in the distance and thinking, we need to ask these people where we can find some food and maybe a little hostel accommodation where we can spend the night, or even just the local corner store where we can get 2-minute noodles if there's nothing else. And we were quite the sight for the local people there, because some of these areas we trekked in, we realised we were some of the first white people they had ever seen. When we were in the heights of these mountains in very remote areas, they had never seen Westerners like us before. Complete strangers carrying really large bags. And you can see the children were really amused by this. So the other night I just discovered Google Translate, which is an amazing app. You can translate someone's words, spoken words or written words, instantly. It is a fantastic app. But when I was trekking, we didn't have that. We had this little tiny English to Mandarin book, and that's what we were using alongside sign language to communicate with the people. So a photo is going to come up on the screen, and this particular photo, I'll explain, is the leader of my group there with a Chinese family. So one afternoon, like I said, we were coming down the road, and the father of the child you see there came out and said to us, kind of ushering us in, would you like to come in and eat? And it was late, we're thinking, this is fantastic. So we came into their house, and pictured in that picture is their kitchen. This kitchen was very primitive, open fire, so we sat around and watched them cook in front of us. Amazing, amazing hospitality. And these people were so generous. As you can see, this is a very primitive house. These are not wealthy people. This is rural China 20 years ago. And after they prepared an amazing feast, which often they would, the houses we went to, they would often kill a chicken right in front of us and prepare it right there as we're watching, which is also another amazing experience. But in the Chinese culture, a lot of times the most exquisite and delicacy parts of the chicken were things like the chicken feet or the chicken neck. So we ate some very interesting meals and yet loved it, because it was more about their willingness. They were giving us their best. So this family in the picture, after we finished our food, they kind of were sign language, like ushering us up and taking us through the house, and they brought us to their very own bedrooms. They were showing us, saying, look, you sleep here tonight. They were offering us their own beds. We were complete strangers, unknown to them, unable to speak their language, and here they are saying, here, have our very own bed. Amazing hospitality. We never took them up on the offer to actually take their beds, because we were thinking, where are they going to sleep for the night? We had tents and we'd set up our little tent in their barn. And we'd always offer these families money for feeding us and offering us a place to pitch our tent or whatever it was. And they never, ever accepted. This warm hospitality is so vivid in my mind, even 20 years later. I'm still absolutely blown away that people would invite complete strangers in, people who could not even speak the same language, and give them their best. Give us food, shelter. They were willing to give up their own comfort so we could be comfortable. And we're in a vision series for our church, looking ahead to the kind of church community that God is calling us to be. And that's the part of the vision we're talking about today, is warm hospitality. Because hospitality is something that God has built into humanity. And these Chinese people weren't being hospitable because of their faith in Jesus, and a lot of them hadn't even heard about Jesus yet. It was a God-given, beautiful aspect of their culture. And of course, the way people show hospitality is different in different cultures, but the elements are generally the same. We believe that God is calling our church community to be devoted to warm hospitality, to create our own culture that is generous and welcoming. And here's what we've written about this part of our vision. And remember, this doesn't necessarily describe our church day. It's what we're looking forward to and working towards as a church. It says, we provide warm hospitality, being generous in our welcome, offering family to outsiders and helping people to belong. We fight the trend towards loneliness by weaving people into healthy communities. We take time to listen, embracing both laughter and tears. We open our lives to each other, always making room at the table. And we are overly generous, constantly looking for ways that we can give and bless others. So imagine a church where people could come and in 20 years' time they are still talking about the way we welcomed them and looked after them. Imagine a church where people could instantly feel at home despite cultural or even language barriers, because through our generosity they had instant family. Imagine a church where our warm hospitality drew people to Jesus because it was so countercultural. They experienced something so new and amazing, and it was so attractive. They wanted to know more about Jesus. Imagine a church where everyone felt like they could share the ups and downs of life. Imagine a church that created space in our lives to invite people into our homes to share meals with each other. Imagine a church that shows the love of Jesus and goes beyond and above and is so generous with our resources. Imagine a church that understands and embraces hospitality as an act of worship. And that's what Jesus is calling us to be devoted to warm hospitality. It's the friendly and generous reception of those we know as well as visitors and strangers and guests. It's taking the time to help our neighbour. It's taking that moment in the grocery store to help someone you don't know. It's maybe a little thing like opening a door. Or maybe it's talking to a parent in the schoolyard, taking that extra few minutes to get there early and do that. It might be surprising a workmate at lunch by providing them a lunch or buying them a coffee. It's something we can do all the time. It's not just for strangers. It's for everyone for all time. It's a way of life, and it's what God asks us to do. It's being willing to give up our own comfort so others feel comfortable. And hospitality isn't just about food, but if you think about moments in your own life where you felt probably the most community, it's generally around food. Food does something to, I don't know, encourage conversation, to encourage that family setting. And we're going to jump in a moment into the biblical basis for warm hospitality. But first, let's look at what this looks like for our church today. So as a church, the idea of warm hospitality isn't a new thing. We're not starting at ground zero for this, because I know so many of you serve with such joy and are willing to be here early to welcome people into with open arms. I know so many of you are so generous with your time and your money. I know so many of you open up your homes and have people over for food. You love your neighbour and you're hospitable at church, in your work and in your community. But like any statistics, a church our size, there are also those who love and follow Jesus but don't take those moments to be hospitable. And I don't want to point fingers. I'm not condemning anyone, because sometimes I'm that person. Sometimes there are moments when I don't feel like cooking that extra meal. There are those moments when I'm too tired to talk to that parent in the schoolyard, even though I see him across the playground. And some of you might be surprised to know there are people sitting here this morning who feel completely alone. There are people watching online this morning who are part of our church who feel the same way. There are people who call our church home, and yet it doesn't really feel like family for them. So we need to get real about some of the areas we lack hospitality in, because life can be too busy to carve out time for community. Some of us aren't willing to give up our finances to be generous. Some of us find it too difficult to open up our homes to invite people in. Some of us just struggle to talk to new people. And some of these reasons really are legitimate, but often they're just excuses. we're out of practice. We hold tightly to our own comfort, and we've created a culture of independence. And that's the reality of today. And some of us are lonely and feel that cold isolation. Some of us are selfish and cling to our own comfort and aren't willing to give it up for the sake of others. But like each part of our vision statement, we have the end picture of the kind of people God is calling us to be like, the kind of people we want to be like in our faith. We aren't there yet, and there is more work to do. There are more things we can do. We want to be like have that experience that I had in China, to be impacted in the way that we are a community that is so generous and hospitable, that we are welcoming to those around us. And this is the essence of hospitality. It's loving our neighbour. And as I was looking into this hospitable kind of and biblical story, I found this quote. It says, "If people don't feel comfortable in the community, they won't stay long enough to enjoy its richness." Our vision as a church is that anyone God brings our way, that they feel comfortable, that they experience Jesus and have that relationship with him, but also the richness of a community. And it begins with warm hospitality. We want them to stay long enough to see that. So it isn't just about strangers. It's about everyone around us for all time. It's an ongoing thing every day. One of the very first stories of hospitality we see in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 18, where we see Abraham sitting at his tent in the heat of the day. And it says in chapter 18, verse 2, "Abraham looked up and noticed three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. 'My Lord,' he said, 'if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey.' 'All right,' they said, 'do as you have said.'" So Abraham is modeling radical hospitality here. And we have written accounts of this story, and we have the privilege of knowing that these three strangers weren't just anybody. But Abraham doesn't know it at this point in time. It says in verse 1, "The Lord again appeared to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day." So to Abraham at this point, these guys are strangers. It was only revealed to him later after they ate a meal together who they really were. The Lord himself. So in the Middle East, the hottest part of the day, you can imagine how oppressive and hot this is. This is not the time of day where you want to go running. But here's Abraham sitting in the cool of his tent and sees these guys in the distance and runs to them. This is a man on a mission. He was determined to offer them comfort and hospitality. He doesn't wait for them to come knocking on his tent asking for a glass of water. He doesn't wait for them to pass out in the heat and think, "I should probably do something about that. They might die out here. It's pretty hot." He runs to them and offers them shade. He gives them water to wash their feet. And it says that Abraham was so honored that they would come to visit. He wanted to also share with them a meal with them, to provide them with food so they had energy and sustenance to go on their journey. So how often do we run to strangers to help them out? How often are we on a mission to make people feel welcomed and comfortable? It's not really the normal thing to do in our Western culture. And just this week as I was preparing this message, I failed to do this exact thing that I'm talking about. There was an afternoon I was just about to do the school run, and I had to duck into the shops on the way to school to grab a few things. And as I was walking down the ramp to the car, I saw this elderly gentleman with a walker, and he was crouched over the walker and he looked exhausted in the middle of the path. And as I was walking down, I was thinking, he looks like he needs help. But in that moment, I looked at my watch. I'm like, I'm running really late. I'm going to be late for the kids at school. And I kept walking down, and as I jumped in the car and drove away, I instantly regretted it. I don't know if that man actually needed my help, but what harm would it have done if I walked up to him and said, "Hey, sorry, sir, would you like me to help you in any way?" I justified it in my head. I'm too busy. The kids are going to be wondering where I am. I'm late. But you know what? The kids would have been fine if I was 5 minutes late. But I could have showed him hospitality, and I didn't. I could have just taken that moment, and I didn't. But back to the story of Abraham and the three men. It says in verse 6, "So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, 'Hurry, get three large measures of your best flour, knead it into dough and bake some bread.' Then Abraham ran to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and roasted the meat, and he served it to the men. As they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees." The hospitality Abraham was showing that day was his best. Abraham and Sarah didn't have a commercial kitchen. They didn't even have a domestic kitchen. This was probably like the photo in China where they had a campfire and who knows what utensils they were working with. This meal took a lot of time to prepare. It was probably hours before they actually ate. I don't know if you've ever made bread. It takes a long time. It's time consuming. You know, if you've ever made yogurt, it takes hours. I've never had to choose a tender calf to kill and prepare, but I'm assuming that would take a very long time. And then you've got roasting the meat on top of that. Abraham and Sarah did not skimp on ingredients. They weren't throwing together a quick meal. This was time-consuming, physically demanding, and extremely generous and abundant. They were preparing a feast. Excessive, generous, warm hospitality to three men who were strangers. And as we read it, it says that Abraham said to Sarah, "Get three large measures of flour." And I was thinking, that's interesting, three large measures. What does that mean? What is measures? So in the Old Testament, and converting it into new kind of terms we understand, a measure of flour is roughly about 31 cups of flour. So it says that Abraham said to Sarah, "Get three measures," which is roughly around 93 cups of flour. So the kids and I love baking bread, and the recipe we have is an amazing recipe, and it uses for one loaf of bread 3 3/4 cups of flour. So just going off my modern day recipe for a loaf of bread, roughly that day Sarah would have made about 25 loaves of bread. 25 loaves of bread for 5 people. And this is not including the rest of the food that they prepared that day. Generous, abundant, amazing hospitality. And then we skip to the New Testament where Jesus is teaching people about what the kingdom of God is like. And Jesus uses parables and stories to explain a little bit about how amazing God's kingdom is. And it says in Luke 13, verse 20, Jesus says, "What else is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." This sounds a little bit like what we just read in Genesis. A woman took 3 measures of flour and put yeast in it and permeated and made it into bread. Jesus' audience would have been very well versed in this story of Abraham and Sarah and them entertaining strangers. And Jesus here is making a direct reference back to that. 3 measures of flour. Such a large quantity, such abundance, such generosity for only a few people to eat. But this time Jesus is directly saying that the kingdom of God is like this. It's abundant, it's extravagant, it's generous. And the nature of yeast is to grow things that it comes into contact with. So when we are generous with our faith, when we show warm hospitality, we allow God to work in the lives of those around us to bring change. And Christians within a culture can act as agents of change. We can slowly transform the culture from within, like yeast acts in a dough, and it causes it to expand and come to life. Generous hospitality. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And Jesus reinforces that later when he says in Matthew 25, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will say, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick and in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you are doing it for me. Even the smallest act of hospitality, of caring for someone, is like doing it for Jesus. It's like caring for Jesus himself. It's an act of worship. I'm not sure if you've ever thought about hospitality like that. Hospitality is an act of worship to Jesus. And it is really challenging to open up our lives to invite people in like that. It is being completely vulnerable and sharing what we have. And it requires most of us to go out of our comfort zones. It feels risky to invite strangers and people in. And maybe you're not an extrovert. Maybe it takes a lot of energy for you to even talk to someone. Or you're thinking, I don't have the kind of resources like Abraham and Sarah did. But it's about your heart. God knows what you have to offer. Your best might be buying a roast chicken from the supermarket and sharing that with a friend. And if that's your best, God knows your heart, and that's okay. But for others, cooking that extravagant meal is your best, and that's awesome also. Your best might be only going up to one person during the week and really making an effort to connect with them and form that community with them. If that's your best, God knows your heart. But for others who are extroverts, your best might be talking to every single person you come across because that gives you energy and you thrive off that. Or your best might be only giving a few dollars to the church so we can provide morning tea and an environment that fosters that conversation and community. And that's okay. But for others, God has given you wealth. So generosity looks more, it's more than a few dollars. The thing is that God wants us to offer our best, no matter what it is. He knows our heart. He knows what you are giving. And he's happy with it when you are doing it joyfully for him. When we continue on in the story of Abraham and Sarah, they're eating their meal together, and Sarah wasn't with the men at this point in time. So during the conversation, they asked in verse 9, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Imagine that day if Abraham had let those men walk by the tent. These men had a really important message. It was a promise to Abraham. It was an encouragement to keep trusting in God, that he was going to be the father of many, like God had already said. If he hadn't entertained them that day, that conversation would never have happened. God was revealing his plan and his purpose. There are so many blessings that come from showing hospitality. And for Abraham and Sarah, the blessing was hosting the Lord himself. Imagine hosting the Lord himself. And the Lord then giving this promise and this encouragement to them. When we host, when we show warm hospitality, there is blessing in it too. It's blessing to the people who we are providing that hospitality to, but it also is something for us. It might be the blessing of a new friendship. It might be the blessing of fun and laughter. It might be something else, or it might be a blessing so significant like the Lord gave Abraham that day. We don't know. It says in Proverbs 22:9, "Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor." So what blessings are we missing out on when we don't show hospitality? And then in Hebrews 13:2, it says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it." That day, Abraham ran to greet three strangers. He didn't know that he was going to host the Lord himself. And imagine one day when we get to heaven and Jesus reveals who we had at our table. Who knows who that might be? That is mind-blowing to even think about the possibility that we could potentially entertain strangers. We don't know. But God is calling us to draw closer to his heart as individuals and a church community to offer that generous hospitality to those around us. We want to be a church that runs towards people to openly invite them in and give them our best. We want to be obedient to Jesus and care for those around us. We want to be a church that is devoted to warm hospitality. And I want to read our vision statement again. It says, we want to be generous in our welcome, offering family to outsiders and helping people to belong. We fight the trend towards loneliness by weaving people into healthy communities. We take time to listen, embracing both laughter and tears, and we open our lives to each other, always making room at the table. We are overly generous, constantly looking for ways that we can give to bless others. And we can do this as a community together. We can do this individuals in our home, our workplaces, our school, and our church. So what are the obstacles in your life that are preventing you from being hospitable? How can you move towards hospitality today? And how can you make hospitality an act of worship? What part can you play in our church community so we can be a church that offers that to other people? Are you willing to give up your own comfort so others can be comfortable? Let me pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you show us that your kingdom, your God's kingdom, is so abundant and so generous, that it is extravagant, and that you invite us into that. And Lord, as we go about this week, that you'll give us the courage to give your best, our best to you as an act of worship. Thank you that we can be change the culture just through our lives and through your love. Jesus, we pray as a church that we'll move towards the vision you have given us, that we'll be people who are devoted to warm hospitality. I pray that you'll give us that heart to see how we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen.